I am so excited today because I have an opportunity to introduce y'all to a friend of mine. This is Greg Gilbert, and you're going to be hearing a lot more about him in just a few minutes. But 20 years ago, we kind of worked together. We both worked for Southwestern Bell, and we were both in, I was in human resources at that time, and he was in human resources for about 12 years. He was up in Arkansas, and I was in Houston, Texas. And ever so often, we would have meetings where we would have a chance to get together, and that's where I really met Greg. He was the one that kind of called those meetings together, and he was just this incredible force that would bring all the HR people from several states together, and those meetings were so much fun. Greg would keep us laughing, but then he would start telling a story, and he would come to a point that would just be this point that just had so much power and so much wisdom in it. And he was just always great at dealing with people and knowing just this inner wisdom about life. After he retired, he started speaking. And he speaks about leadership and wisdom. And it just fit perfectly with our sermon series, Looking for Godly Wisdom in the New Year. And he was actually our speaker last night for our Chamber of Commerce banquet and did a wonderful job. But I thought it'd be a wonderful opportunity for you to hear just something a little bit different and hear about lessons in leadership and life and love. So I'd like for you to welcome Mr. Greg Gilbert.
Thank you very much. Thank you for the opportunity to share with you today. Before I get started, I always like to start with a quick IQ test. Are you ready? What's more evil than the devil? What's greater than God? The rich could stand a little bit more of it. The poor have way too much of it. And if you eat it, you'll die. What's more evil than the devil? What's greater than God? The rich could stand a little bit more of it. The poor have way too much of it. And if you eat it, you will die. What's the answer to that? Nothing. That's the answer to that. Now, how many of you got that correct right off the bat? I didn't the first time I heard it. You see, when I first heard that, I started building a mental Excel spreadsheet trying to find the common denominator. And I like to ask that because I need to find out how fast or how slow I need to talk today. And looks like we're going to get out of here about two, Kiva. But if you get that correct the first time you hear it, congratulations. You're in the same category as 80% of kindergartners. Because children, all they hear is what's greater than God. We as adults, we get jumbled up in all these other things and all these other factors, and we get confused. But all a child hears is what's greater than God. So I'll try to talk a little slow today. We'll have a little fun. How many of you have ever been in one of these towns that have a paper mill in them? You know, they have a little aroma to them. There's one close to us in Ashdown, Arkansas. And there's this myth about Christians that we're sticks in the mud and we don't like to have fun and we're all grumpy and everything all the time. And I disagree with that. I like to have fun. In fact, the way I like to, I want people to think, what is he up to? What does he have? And I compare it to two skunks walking through a town like Ashdown, Arkansas, has a paper mill. When the paper mill is really smelling at its height, two skunks are walking through there. One skunk raises its nose and said, "Ooh, what is that pungent aroma?" And the other skunk says, "I don't know, but I got to have me some of that." That's what being a Christian should be like, is that people should see you and your actions and they should say, "I got to have me some of that." Right? Now, I like to have fun. I'm a singer-songwriter. I picked up a guitar at 50 years old. I've always been good with rhyme and lyrics, but I finally learned how to play the guitar, and I see things, and they inspire me, and I write a song about them. And a couple of years ago, I was taking my vitamins one morning, and I saw the vitamins on the counter, and I thought, just the same thing you would think. There's a song there. So I wrote a little song. Vitamin. Vitamin. If they're knocking at your door, vitamin. Don't ask them where they're going. I wonder where they've been. If they're knocking at your door, vitamin. Please call your radio station for that. I've played that one night, a little campfire one night when I'd just written the song. And a couple of weeks later, my cousins daughter, she was there, and she said, "I hate you and I hate that song." I said, "Now that hate is a strong word now." And she said, "Well, every time I take my vitamins, every morning I think, vitamin, vitamin." She said, "I can't get that out of my head." I said, "Well, I've passed a message on to you, so I hope you enjoy that." A couple of years ago, well, in fact, in December 2014, I shared this with a group last night. I was setting goals. You know, this is the 17th of January, and we've pretty much gotten through with all those resolutions that we made. They're in the past now. But I'm a goal setter. I believe in goal setting. And I was, in 2014, in December, I was setting my goals for 2015, and I reached a roadblock. I had a mental block, and I pulled my guitar off the wall trying to clear my head, and I started playing a couple of songs. And then all of a sudden, I realized there were 5 leadership lessons in my guitar. And I'd like to share those with you today. Lesson number 1, strings. Do not let people string you along in life. Lesson number 2, what are these little metal bars on my neck of my guitar? Frets. Do not fret about things you cannot change or do not have any control over. Lesson number 3, it's not if it will happen, it's when it will happen. Sometimes in life, something's going to happen that gets things kind of out of tune. Like if I was to play this, pretty recognizable, and "It's My Girl" is the name of the song. But invariably in life, something's going to occur that will get something a little out of tune, isn't it? And now when you play that little song, ugly, isn't it? It's not recognizable. Now, when I teach leadership seminars, I said that one string on my 6-string guitar could represent a poor attitude, a poor performer, a bad division department, or maybe even a bad customer. But in our personal life, that one string could represent our health, our finances, our marriage, friendships, relationships, spiritual life, social life. And when it gets out of whack, it's pretty ugly. It impacts everything else. Lesson number 4. This is the neck of my guitar. Sometimes in life, we must stick our neck out to get anywhere, right? How does a turtle get anywhere? They have to stick their neck out, don't they? Sandy and I were on our way to Sherman, Texas last year and to do a seminar, and we were listening to a podcast. And on the way down, I heard a quote by Richard Branson, and I was rewinding the podcast while she was writing it down. But the quote was by Richard Branson. He said, "The risk takers may not live forever, but the overly cautious do not live at all." Wow. Sometimes we have to stick our neck out. And lesson number 5, and I think this is the most important, when things are out of tune in our life, sometimes we need to stop what we're doing. And we'll come up with every excuse in the world. "I don't have time to take time and all that. I've got all this going." You have to stop. Take time. I recommend getting pen and paper. I started journaling in 1978. I recommend getting pen and paper and figuring out whatever it takes, and maybe even get with the people that are impacted by that also and come up with a plan so that your life gets back in tune. It does not happen by itself. You have to be intentional about it to do that. A couple of years ago, 3 or 4 years ago, Sandy and I were out at dinner one night, and it seemed like everything we would say, one of us, the other one would say, "Wouldn't that be something?" Or I would say, "Wouldn't that be something?" I bet we probably said, "Wouldn't that be something?" 15 or 20 times that night. That was a Friday night. Saturday morning, I woke up with this thought in my mind, and I wrote a song titled, "Wouldn't That Be Something?" Well, another Monday morning, I waken with a sigh. I read the Monday paper, I couldn't believe my eyes. I flipped through all the pages, I had to catch my breath. There's nothing written about murder or robbing, violent crime or death. Wouldn't that be something? If we all got along, wouldn't that be something? If we all knew right from wrong, wouldn't that be something? If you love the folks you meet, if you were the person that you'd want your child to be, wouldn't that be something? Wouldn't that be something?
yelled for my wife. Said, this you gotta see. She hurried in the room. We turned up the TV and sat there on the couch and prayed they were joking through the night all over the world. Not one commandment broken. Wouldn't that be something? If we all got along, wouldn't that be something? If we all knew right from wrong, wouldn't that be something? If you love the folks you meet, if you were the person that you'd want your child to be, wouldn't that be something? Wouldn't that be something? Before I headed off to work and the kids went on to school, we said a prayer, ate together and discussed the golden rule. As I walked into my building, 10 commandments on the wall, after school to start the day. After school to start the day. Prayer echoed down the hall. Well, first you poke your neighbor, and then you nod your head. You agree with the prayer in school and the other things I said. Here's a question for us, because we are not alone. How can we ask that school to pray? I said, how can we ask that school to pray when we don't pray at home? Wouldn't that be something? If we all got along, wouldn't that be something? If we all knew right from wrong, wouldn't that be something? If you love the folks you meet, if you were the person, if you were the person that you'd want your child, that I'd want my child to be, wouldn't that be something? Wouldn't that be something? Wouldn't that be something? All right. Thank you. The old cowboy moved to the city, right down the street from this huge church. And on Sunday morning, he put his best clothes that he had on. He starched and pressed his denim jeans and his denim shirt, put a little shine on his work boots, got his little tattered Bible, and went to this huge church. Walked in, there were men in 3 and 4 and 5 and 6-piece suits. That's a lot of pieces, isn't it? Ladies in the fancy dresses and hats. No one spoke to him. No one acknowledged him. No one welcomed him. He sat back there in the back, and the preacher preached this fire and brimstone service on raising more money so they could build onto the church. And at the end, the preacher walked up to the old cowboy and introduced himself to him and said, "Hey, I'd just like to ask you, do you ever talk to the Lord during the week?" And the old cowboy said, "Yes, sir, I talk to him many times every day." The preacher said, "If you don't mind, sir, this week when you're talking to the Lord, if you would, ask him what would be more appropriate attire to wear to our church." The old cowboy said, "Yes, sir, I sure will." He said, "I talk to him many times every day." So the next Sunday, the old cowboy put the same clothes on. They were clean, not torn, as best he had. Came back to the church, still when no one spoke to him or acknowledged him. The preacher walked up to him and said, "Well, did you get a chance to talk to the Lord this week?" The old cowboy said, "Yes, sir, I did. I told you, I talked to him many times every day." And the preacher said, "Well, did you get a chance to ask him what would be more appropriate attire to wear to our church?" And the cowboy said, "Yes, sir, I did. I asked him, and he said he couldn't help me. Said, he'd never been in this church." Well, I picked up this morning's paper. Tears of sorrow fill my eyes. Said a church spent $40 million to rebuild and modernize. And a local TV station covered the story that day. There was lots of stained glass windows, finest wood in all the doors. When the church invited the mayor and the folks from City Hall, take part in the dedication of a church at a stand so tall. And the local TV station would cover the story that day. Well, I wonder if they invited Jesus would he just get in the way? What I want to know is, what about Jesus? Would he be welcome there? He walked in sandals, dressed in sackcloth and long hair. Won't you tell me about the sinner hooked on drugs and alcohol? Oh Lord, it makes me wonder, would he be welcome there at all? Oh Lord, it makes me wonder, would Jesus be welcome there at all? I know he's welcome here, isn't he? You bet. Thank you. I have a couple of grandsons. And when my youngest grandson was 3, we were playing one day, and I would take a doily off of a table and put it on my head and put it back on the table, and he mauled me. Everything I did, he did. And I learned a lesson that day. And in fact, if you would, get your hands free right quick. And I'm going to count 1, 2, 3. And when I say go, if you would clap your hands, okay? Here we go. 1, 2, 3, go. People do what you do. They don't do what you say. There's an old cliche that your actions are speaking so loudly, I cannot hear a word you're saying. People are watching you. Your kids are watching you. Are you a hypocrite? Are you a hypocristian? I'm starting on a song a few years ago. I've not finished it, called I'm a Hypocristian. And it's got all these contradictions in there. But people do what you do, and that's what this song is about. Granddaddy smoked, and he had a taste for booze. Before you knew it, Granddaddy's son did too. And when he had children of his own, addiction was the only seed he'd sown. And he passed it on, passed it down. You can't cheat your children, heroes from the ground. Pass it on. In the end, when you leave them all your love or all your sin, you can make it right or wrong, and you pass it on. He had a special name for every man, all of the men who weren't just like him. His children used the words they heard from Dad. Not just like we are, we don't like that. And those kids, they passed it on, passed it down. You can't teach your children heroes from the ground. Pass it on. In the end, when you leave them all your love or all your sin, you can make it right or wrong, and you pass it on. It's my favorite verse. He could have left this world without a prayer. Most of the fools he knew didn't even care. Instead, he saved us all from being lost as they nailed him to the cross. Thank God that he passed it on, passed it down. You can't teach your children heroes from the ground. Pass it on. In the end, will you leave them all his love or all your sin? You can make it right or wrong, and pass it on. Tell them he rolled back the stone as you passed it. Oh, pass it on. Thank goodness. Thank God for passing it on to us.
How many of you have ever had to do something that you didn't want to do? I don't stand up to wave my hand on that. Many, many years ago at Southwestern Bell, I had to take CPR. I didn't want to take it. I thought it was a waste of my time. The dummy was kind of bald-headed like me. That kind of freaked me out. I asked for a wig on the dummy, and I didn't want to take it, but I had to. And then I had to recertify, and I thought, what a waste of my time. I'll never use that. And then in January of 1986, we lived in Fayetteville, Arkansas, and had some people visiting, and we were talking Saturday morning in the den, and all of a sudden, a person had a heart attack in my den. I pulled him out of the recliner and did CPR on him for about 10 minutes till the EMTs got there. And the doctor later that afternoon said, what I did saved his life. He had a massive heart attack, and had I not done what I did, that he would have died. And he said, now you broke a rib, but he said that's fairly common because of the adrenaline that's flowing. But it's a good news, bad news, phenomenal news story. The good news is I had training to save someone's life. The bad news is 5 months later, this person had a blood clot and went to the heart and they passed away. The phenomenal news is that in that 5 months, this person accepted their faith. They accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. The phenomenal news is it was my dad. And I am so thankful that I had the training. And I don't shun education anymore. Anything I can learn, I want to learn it because I never know when I'll be able to share it or use it. When does your education end? Never. Never. It never does. I want to share a song with you. We were talking this morning and I shared this with Kiva. And by the way, Kiva cooked us a great breakfast this morning. And she looked pretty comfortable in that kitchen. You know, there's an old joke, you know, about the guy said his wife wanted to go somewhere she'd never been this year, and so he took her to the kitchen. But Kiva was familiar with things. She knew where things were. I mean, she cracked an egg. She was good at it. So, but we were talking, and I shared her about this song that I'd written a few years ago. There was this little girl that visited our church. We go to a small country church outside of Hope, Arkansas, and some people would go by and pick her up and bring her at times. And I saw her at church a few times, and on a Sunday afternoon, I was at a Walmart, and she came up to me and tugged on my jacket and asked me a question and inspired this song. And I'll share the song with you. On a hardware aisle, a big box store, just a great day of my life. Getting nuts and bolts and screws and nails, a little project for my wife. Felt a tug on my jacket, a little voice said, I know you. Turned to see a cute little girl, blonde hair and eyes of blue. She said that you play guitar at the church right down the road. Some friends come by and get me if they don't have a load. Well, I'm not often speechless, but it happened at that Walmart. She had tugged on my jacket, and these words tugged on my heart. But she said, would you ask my mama to bring me to your church? I can't get her up on Sunday, and Dad just wants to work. You can play your guitar, and I'll sing with every word. You would ask my mama to bring me to your church. I said, let's go and find her, and I watched as she ran by. Hoping that she wouldn't look back, see the tears in my eyes. Well, I drug my feet, I walked real slow, really wanting to be composed. By the time that we found Mama, after walking through the road, little Laura introduced me, and I held out my hand. Well, I'd like to invite you both to church, please come if you can. I didn't make her feel uneasy, didn't push, just hope I'd land. When I got back in my truck, these words ran through my head. And she said, would you ask my mama to bring me to your church?
Can't get her up on Sunday, and Dad just wants to work. You can play your guitar, and I'll sing with every word. You would ask my mama to bring me to your church. Well, mamas and daddies, raising kids these days is tough. Why would we not embrace a little help from above? Oh, mamas and daddies, please bring those kids to church. Mama, get up on Sunday, and Dad put off that work. You can sit there as a family as you study God's Word. If mamas and daddies bring the kids to church, please mamas and daddies, what a difference it would make if we would bring our kids to church. Amen. The little girl inspired that song. I wrote it in the truck that afternoon, sitting in the Walmart parking lot. And the next Sunday, she wasn't there, but I sang the song at church. And word got out that I had written the song. She came to church a couple of weeks later, and she said, "I understand you wrote a song about me. I'd like to hear it." And I said, and her name was Stephanie. I said, "Stephanie, you inspired the song, but," I said, "the song is not about you." I said, "I don't know your family." I said, songwriters, when they get an inspiration, they just make stuff up. That's all the song is. I made stuff up, and I had to make it rhyme. So the song is not about you, but thank you for inspiring me. So I played the song that Sunday, and a couple of weeks later, she came back with her mom and dad. And they, mom and dad said, "I understand you wrote a song about our daughter." And now I had to go through the same spiel. No, I didn't. I said, "Stephanie inspired the song." I said, "I don't know your family." I said, "I just made a bunch of things up and made them rhyme. That's what the song is." But she inspired it. Well, I played the song. And a couple weeks later, Sandy and I were at church with my oldest grandson was with us. And we were leaving. And my cousin came outside and he said, we were in the car leaving. And he said, "You need to come back inside." I said, "Stephanie's accepting Jesus Christ." And he said, she said, "It's a song that started it." And see, I know it wasn't the song, it was God. But it was, he gave me the inspiration to write that song. And it's had a couple of other feedbacks of success stories and things. So I'm so thankful that he gave me that. I'm so thankful that I was in Walmart at that time and she said, "Would you ask my mama to bring me to your church?" So thankful I was at the right place at the right time. I'm going to close with one other song. A few years ago, I had this inspiration. I went to a men's fraternity meeting. It was met once a week for 6 a.m. in the morning. And this preacher was talking about his daughter going off to college. And he said, as I watched her drive away, I didn't know what she was leaving with. I didn't know. And boy, pen and paper, I had this inspiration. And I wrote the song in a deer blind. And it's titled, "What Are They Leaving With?" And I wrote it about my two daughters and my two grandsons. What seeds am I sowing in their life? What legacy am I leaving for them? And I'll share the song with you. My little girl goes off to first grade, and she steps upon that bus. Little nose against the window as she waves goodbye to us. Have I packed her pad and pencil as I watch that school bus roll? Really, what's important? All the things that she can't hold. After 16 years of waiting, she's ready to take the wheel. After miles and miles of driving that old truck in Grandpa's field, does she have some extra money and a number she can call? All that stuff's important. What matters most of all? What is she leaving with? Does she have a loving home, leaving with? Have I shown her right from wrong, leaving with? When we're miles and miles apart, and there's a choice to be made, and she looks inside her heart, what is she leaving with? What is she leaving with? My little girl is getting married. I get to walk her down the aisle. As I wipe away my tears, I look to see her smile. She said, "It's all right, Daddy," as she gently takes my hand. "You show me what to look for in a man. Life's so full of questions. Here's one just for me. Have I been the person that I'd want my child to be? What are they leaving with? Will they have a loving home? Leaving with? Have we shown them right from wrong? Leaving with? When we're miles and miles apart, there's a choice to be made." And they look inside their heart. What are they leaving with? What are they leaving with? My grandson goes off to first grade, and he steps upon that bus, his little nose against the window as he waves goodbye to us. What is he leaving with? What is he leaving with? What are they leaving with? I'll be honest with you, when I wrote that song, I wasn't even thinking about you, and I apologize. I was thinking about my girls and my grandsons. But now the song is about you, and here's why. A few years ago, after I played it many times, I started thinking, and I'm so humbled and grateful to be able to share what great leaders and mentors and the Lord has done in my life. And every time I do it, even though I've done it hundreds of times, as I prepare, I ask myself, what are they leaving with? And the most valuable thing that you can leave with is Jesus Christ in your heart. But I always hope that I have shared something with you today that'll help you in leadership and life. And as a speaker or as an author, I always say, it's not my job to tell you what to do. It's my job to inspire or encourage you to ask yourself two questions. Why am I doing this, and why am I not doing that? And if I can inspire and encourage you to ask that question today, that's what I hope you're leaving with today. Thank you so much for the invitation today. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Greg. You know, hopefully as you leave today, you will walk out with some of this wisdom that he shared with us and some of his faith.